As you take your seat, I'd like to invite any children who may be with us today to come up for a moment with me. All right. Well, hello, everybody. They're still coming. Well, good morning. Have y'all ever seen anybody or heard anybody talk in another language? What language do you speak? Korean and English?
Spanish.
Spanish, all right. What else? French, okay. Any other languages? No? Okay. Say something to me in Korean, Buster. That's fantastic. Thank you. Do you know what? If he had just come up to me and said those words to me, I would have had nothing, right? But somebody who's from Korea, what would they have heard? They would have heard you counting, right? Hey, where's my Spanish? Show me some Spanish. There, that's good. That's 1 through 5, right? And so I had some Spanish, so I knew that. But barely. It's amazing that there are people all over the world who are just like us, right? They have eyes and ears and a nose and a mouth. They have hands and feet and they walk around and they have mamas and daddies and they love their families. They go to school. They go to work. They do all the things that we do. They watch TV. They play video games. They go outside and they play baseball or soccer or basketball. Football, but they do it all in a completely other language. Now, if you wanted to talk to somebody from, let's say, where? Let's go to Germany. Anybody here speak German? Good. All right, so we're going to go to Germany. All right? And we want to talk to the people in Germany. What do we need to do? Speak their language. Does it matter how loud we talk? Does it matter how slowly we say what we want to say? No, they still wouldn't understand, would they? So we have to speak a language that they know. This day is Pentecost. You see how I've got my red stole and all the paraments are red? The choir's got their red stoles on. Because on the day of Pentecost, all of the disciples of Jesus were gathered together in one room. And Jesus had already gone. He had gone up into heaven to be with God. But he had told the disciples, if you'll wait here, then you'll receive power from on high. And they didn't know what that meant. But they did. They waited. And then all of a sudden, in the room where they were, this big giant wind blew through the whole room, and it kind of startled them and scared them. But then on top of that, there was like fire that came down from heaven, and there was a little bit of fire that rested on each person. And then you know what they could do? They could speak other languages. And not just a little bit. They could speak the whole thing. They could speak every language. And they could go out, and all the people that were there in Jerusalem from all over the world, they heard these disciples telling them about Jesus in their own language. So, Buster, could you tell me about Jesus in Korean? Not yet? Okay, well, that's fine. You'll get there.
I don't even know how to say hello in French.
Okay, but one day, maybe you'll be able to tell somebody about Jesus in French.
How?
Beautiful. What language is that?
Spanish.
That is Spanish. That's wonderful. Our mission service team is going to have an opportunity to go to Costa Rica very, very soon. And we're going to be in Costa Rica where the primary language they speak is Spanish. And we're learning a little bit of Spanish to take with us, but I promise you this, by the time we come back, we'll know a little bit more. We'll be able to tell them maybe just a little bit about Jesus. And even if we can only say, Jesus te amo, then we'll be able to tell him something really important. And that's what the disciples were doing at Pentecost. They were telling the world in the languages that they understood that Jesus loved them. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to hear? Isn't it a great thing to be able to hear that in the language that you speak, the language that you know and love? Well, the gift of Pentecost is the call for all of us to be able to share. Ella's going to go tell somebody right now in the language that she speaks that Jesus loves them. Jesus loves you. Learn that and know that so you can share that. Jesus te ama. Y'all want to? Let's. Bonjour. All right, guys. Thank y'all. Let's pray. All right? Loving God, this day, this holy day, this day of Pentecost is a reminder that each person you have made deserves the good news. And Lord, as somebody spoke the gospel into our lives in the language that we speak, may we hear that call once more to experience the creative power of your Spirit and to offer the good news in ways that those around us can hear it, believe it, and live it. In your name we pray. Amen. Our scripture lesson comes to us today from the book of Acts. We're in the second chapter, verses 1 through 21. This is a story that you have probably heard. If you've been paying attention, you've heard bits of it today. But here we are, second chapter, the book of the Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretan and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, fire and blood and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart here be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was in seminary, I took a couple of classes with a professor who has since left Duke Divinity School and got hired at Yale, which I guess if you got to go somewhere, I guess that's okay. He was a fantastic professor, but one of the gifts that he had was in teaching us about theological concepts with the purpose of being able to take those concepts and translate them into language that is consumable by people who did not go to seminary. Now, there may be some folks in here who went to seminary. I'm going to assume that probably most of you didn't. That's okay. I don't blame you. The people beyond the walls of this gathered space right here, the people that you meet out in this world, out in our community, out in the at your work, at the places that you go, those people, for the most part, I'm going to bet, didn't go to seminary either. God love them. They're not nearly as confused as I am. They need to hear, though, what we have learned here today. And they need to hear it in a way that makes sense to them. They need to hear it in a way that takes root in their lives so that the growth of the gospel can happen in them. We live in an interesting time. That was the great curse, wasn't it? May you live in interesting times. Well, I think that's certainly where we are. We are in interesting times. We have so many ways to communicate now that it can be hard to actually communicate. The church took root through the gift of communication. We heard right here that it was this gift of being able to share the gospel in other languages that brought people to understand what God was doing in Jesus Christ, what God was doing through the early church. It gave the church an understanding of who they were when the Holy Spirit rushed in and took over each and every one of them. It gave them the knowledge that God was doing something not just for them, but for the world. And in order for that to happen, communication of that gospel, of that good news, had to happen. And so, in those days, in the Roman Empire, one of the great gifts that the Roman Empire offered was infrastructure, not least among them was roads. You could get from point A to point B in a hurry in Rome. Some of those roads are still in use today. So these were well-constructed thoroughfares. And you could get from point A to point B in the Roman Empire, which made communication a lot easier. Which made it a lot easier to get the word from here to there effectively and efficiently. You know, we talk about the Apostle Paul, and he was pretty close to the time of the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, just a couple of years after, perhaps. And by the time Paul's ministry is concluded, he was going to visit Christians in Spain. Okay. This is within 15 or 20 years. The word that God had revealed in Christ Jesus, this word of salvation, had extended beyond Jerusalem, beyond the Holy Land, as far west as Spain. And Paul was going to go see the church in Spain. Used to be that in the time of Christ, the way that they had written words was on scrolls, right? Everybody knows what a scroll is, right? You get the big long thing, and if you drop one part of the scroll and it goes rolling down, you know, like the paper towels or something, you know, when you drop them, it just unwinds everything. You got to wind your scroll back up. Well, one of the advances in technology in the time of the early church was you could have pages bound in a book. This right here, you just carry it under your arm. This right here can go somewhere. And if you've got a road to travel, you can carry this with you. You can carry the scripture. You can carry the word. You can carry the gospel with you where you go. And so it happened. It happened so much faster. And that's why the church exploded. That's one of the reasons why the church exploded like it did. Was you had this spirit-embodied people. You had them empowered and equipped for this. And technology met them in the middle of it. And the church blew up. Now, we stand in that great stream of technology today. And I'm going to tell you what. I think sometimes that great stream has become a mighty flood. And it is hard to find your footing in the middle of everything that is out there to communicate. And sometimes we become maybe a little bit paralyzed and we forget all the many ways in which this good news has been given to us and all the many ways that we can share it. Communication is vital to us. And the people around us speak a lot of different languages. Now, we think most of them speak English-ish, depending on who you ask. There's some English mixed in. There's some other stuff, too. But for the most part, if you can speak English, you can communicate. Our issue right now for us in this place in which we find ourselves is not the mother tongue that we speak, not the language that we use, but the way that we use our language. There are people in this congregation who communicate most effectively via telephone. I don't talk about no cell phone. I'm talking about a landline that sits right there beside the chair. Now, some of you are that person. Okay? Some of you want a phone call on your cell phone because I'm on the go. Some of you would prefer a text message. Right? Maybe an email. Some of you, like my elder son, will respond to you most effectively if you direct message him on Instagram. Starting to see the challenge? Maybe you prefer Twitter, or maybe Facebook Messenger, Snapchat. Every month, it seems, there is another way to communicate and another slice of our society, our gathered body here, the community beyond us, takes on another way to communicate. You know how hard it is for us to get the good news in the hands, in the ears, in the eyes of the people who need it if we are not speaking in a way that they can hear it. So what that means is we have to communicate not just one way. We're communicating information in as many as a half a dozen ways and still missing people. Now, many of you know that my wife Patty works at the Warehouse Deli and Warehouse Market and Bakery out at on Jack Springs Road. And one of her primary responsibilities is overseeing their Facebook presence. And if you're on Facebook and you have liked the Warehouse page, you'll find communication coming from the Warehouse on an almost daily basis and a very responsive presence there as well, because it is a constant responsibility for her. She is constantly in communication and dialogue with the Warehouse and with what they want to do and with the people who have liked the page. That's one form of communication. It takes almost daily, multiple times a day, to ensure that it is done well. Communication is becoming harder. It's not becoming easier. Communication is taking more time, not less. So, that rests on us to determine how best to communicate the gospel. Believe it or not, the most effective way to communicate the gospel, how do you think? You ready? Face to face. One person to another. In conversation. In communication. Face to face. Now, I know that we think that if we just post the exact right thing on Facebook, the exact right little picture and saying on there, that we'll get them, that they'll finally see the error of their ways. I know that we think that maybe if we leave just enough messages, text messages, if we leave enough emails, believe me, the best way for you to share the good news revealed in Christ Jesus is face to face. This is where it gets hard. Because the people who need to hear it, the people in our community who need the good news of Jesus Christ, sometimes aren't the ones we want to be face to face with. How about that? The ones who most need it are the ones that we maybe most avoid. So when Jesus says to His disciples that when I was sick and in prison, you came and visited me. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. Jesus is reminding us that it is in those places that we most likely avoid that the good news is most necessary. We offer that good news not simply with our mouths, but with our lives, with our bodies. What we do matters as much, maybe more, than what we say. Who we are matters more than what we intellectually believe. What comes forth through our heart is shown forth in our hands and our feet. The old saying is, if you want to know what you value, look at your checkbook. It tells you what you value. If you want to know what you believe, look at what you do. It tells you what you believe. We talk about our faith as something that all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. Well, that is true. But that belief shows forth in who you are and how you relate to each other. Now, the world in which we find ourselves is a world that is filled with peril and danger. It is filled with uncertainty and anxiety. And not a day goes by when that's not revealed more clearly and urgently than the day before. And we can all sit back and we can move down the list of things that's happened this week. And we can wonder if the presence of Christ is here at all. We can wonder if the Spirit of God is at work in this world at all. When we see violence over and over again in our schools. When we see people referred to as animals. People. As animals. We can wonder if the Spirit of God is alive at all in this world. When we stand by and keep the good news to ourselves, we have not been faithful. You have received something today. Not from me. I'm not that arrogant. A little bit arrogant, but not that arrogant. You've received something today from God. That scripture that you heard is not just history. That scripture that we heard is not about something that happened 2,000 years ago and we place our hand on our chin and think, wow, wasn't that amazing? That scripture revealed something that is happening right now. That same Holy Spirit that was poured out on the early church, that same Holy Spirit that gave them the gift to speak into the world the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of God is at work right now. But we have to take it. And we have to be called out into that world and go into the places that we don't want to go and talk with the people we don't want to talk to and demonstrate by who we are and what we do that that good news lives in us. Now, this is what it means to be a people of Pentecost. That Spirit that is alive and is a gift from Almighty God comes to us and sends us forth. Now, how do we know if we have that Spirit? The Apostle Paul gives us some clues. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Can you show that? Is your faith cultivating that in you? Is it pushing you not into conflict, but into peace? Is it moving you not toward despair, but to joy? Is your faith guiding you not to hate, but to love? Is it? I know for many of you, the ones that I've met, the ones that I know, it's there. It just takes that one step across an uncertain boundary, across an imaginary barrier, into a world that is so broken that the only thing that can save it is the gospel. There is nothing that will save the world except the people of Christ coming alongside the Holy Spirit and meeting the world in its broken places and living with Christ there. We do that, and we'll see it. We'll see the people of fire once again. We'll see the people on fire with not just righteousness, but on fire with faithfulness and love and hope and all the things that Christ has offered to us. May we receive them today with gratitude and boldness to be the people that Christ has called us to be. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I invite you now to stand and join your voices as we sing our closing hymn, number 547, O Church of God United. As you go forth today, may you hear the invitation once more into the broken places of the world. May you find the Spirit of God encouraging you and empowering you and equipping you for that task. And as you go forth, may you find the words, the language, not simply to speak the good news, but to show it in who you are and in what you do. In this day and in all your days, go forth in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, day and forever. Amen.